This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And thank you again to EscapePodTank.com. They go there if you want a sensory deprivation tank. They're already going to save you thousands. But if you mention the church of what's happening now or Joey Diaz, they're going to save you an additional $250 off.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's that time. Special edition. Church of what's happening now. April 21st, Monday. The day the devil was fucked in the muffler and thrown into some river somewhere off the coast of New York City. You bad motherfuckers. Kick it, Lee. Kick that motherfucker, Lee. Bounce it, Lee. Oh, shit. Somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. May. Oh, stop it, motherfuckers. Oh, shit. Special edition. Audio's kicking. I'm stoned to the gills. I had a chocolate bar today, two candies. And what you want to do? What? I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. Oh, shit. Monday night, cocksuckers. Get it together. East Coast, it's midnight. I'm sorry. I know you got to get up and go to work in the morning. Turn it off, Lee. What the fuck?
I realized that after we left today, I was like, he ate half of that 750 milligram bar.
And I went home. My plan was, I only slept 4 fucking hours last night. So my plan was to, when the podcast went kaputs, I was going to go home, eat something, play with the baby till 9, then take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
I hung out with the baby like I always do. I watch those ABC videos and all that shit. And, you know, the wheels on the bus go round and round. The doors click, click, click. I watched all that, what I played with. And then at 9 o'clock, I went in, me and Gray. I grabbed Gray. And I said, Gray, we're taking a fucking nap, cocksucker. And I finally popped my head up at 10 to 10. I couldn't fall asleep. So I said, fuck it. I got up. I wrote the end of the chapter. I sent some emails. I got aggravated. You know me, dog. It was a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Then you called me. What happened?
Oh, fucking.
So that candy didn't work on you.
A little bit, but not really.
It wasn't as good as a half a Goomy.
No.
No. Not Los Goomies.
Any
Green Hornet. Okay, good. No. As long as I knew.
But I was just, I thought I was going to get high because it started to kick in. And I was driving home from here because I had a piece of equipment at my house. So I went, I was driving home on Moore Park, which it's a really small street. And right at Laurel Canyon, this cop pulled up next to me and his side view mirror hit mine. And I just,
on the left hand side or on the right?
On driver's side.
Shit.
So I was like, fuck. And it wasn't me. I was stopped, and he just hit it. And I just, I froze. It was a red light. And he stopped. And when the green light came up, I kind of pulled up. And I was like, I think it's okay, guys. And they were like, pull over. We're just looking to make sure. I was like, fuck. So I pulled up into a little strip market. I got out. And if it had been broken, I probably would have said, let's just go. Because I didn't want to be high.
You had a fucking anxiety attack doing the paperwork and
so
shit.
I just looked. And looked, there was nothing wrong with it. But they, I just left and I got paranoid, but...
You didn't get a get out of jail free card and nothing out of these cocksuckers?
I should have done something.
Yeah, you gotta do something.
All I imagined was Ari yelling at TSA. I was like, would he fucking yell to these guys? But I saw a video tonight of, kids at a bar yelling at cops who were arresting their friends. And cops don't fuck around anymore. This cop tackled a kid. And I was like, holy shit. So I was like, nope, I'm just gonna get out of here.
Somebody put a video of a deer getting shot by a cop. Why do you people post those fucking videos at night? What is the incentive? Some idiot months ago posted the fucking zebra getting killed by the fucking giraffe. I don't get what people... I don't like that shit. I don't want to see nobody suffering. You know what I'm saying?
You know who's the worst? And she's great. Melissa Eva Perez from San Jose.
Yeah.
Every fucking day on Facebook... Two kids kidnapped and burned, and it's like the
worst. Oh, yeah, she's the kiss of death.
It's
she loves that shit.
Worst. I'm like, why are you posting that stuff? But it's just, it was a crazy day, but fuck it, we're back.
No, we're back. I'm sorry about the audio today. That shit fucking happens, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I can't control it. I didn't get any fucking water. It's unbelievable.
You
won't? No, I'm straight. But it was, I went home. My knee is fucked up. I put ice on it when I went home. When I woke up, I put elevator. Then about 1 o'clock, I got bored to death about 12:30. In the heat of the sun, I went outside and started doing kettlebell swings.
Ugh.
Just sweating, and I fucking started doing...
Is that okay for your knee?
Cleans. You know what, man? I got to do something to move the blood around. Because walking hurts a little bit, and I was taking a hit in the bag at the Y. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to lose my parking spot. These motherfuckers by my house, notorious, dog. I'm fucking anti-anxiety. I am anxiety-ridden over my parking lot. I would rather sit home and eat nothing than get in my fucking car and lose that parking spot. I hold on to that mother... That's how you know you're getting fucking old.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing two things lately that are just embarrassing to even talk about, but I'm going to talk
what
about
what else are you right? doing?
I'm doing not leaving the house because I don't want to lose my parking spot.
Yeah?
In front of the house. I like that spot in front of the house. I would kill a motherfucker for that spot. But I will walk to the bodega and get, like, you know, stupid shit so I don't have to leave the house. I got enough food at the house. And I'm stealing sweeteners from fucking restaurants when I go on the road.
Do you put them in a little napkin in case they break?
No, I put them in my fucking pocket. I don't give a fuck. It is the weirdest thing because every coffee, every fucking hotel room I go to on the road has a Kroenig or a fucking coffee machine.
But it's only like coffee. Two sugars and stuff?
They give you two fucking sugars. Like, you're sitting there at midnight trying to drink coffee, watch a Law and Order, and there's no fucking sugar. So now you got to call room service. They won't open the door because you got no do not disturb. So it takes them 20 minutes. They go right back downstairs and call you. Hi, your do not disturb sign is on. Then you come back up. Now by the time I put the fucking thing in, the coffee's goddamn cold. So what was the point of it? I just get aggravated.
Yeah.
So when I think, I got a box of fucking Sweet and Low at the house. Do you think I put it in my suitcase? Fuck no. I leave it at home every goddamn week. And then I go on the road and I realize at fucking 12 o'clock that I need a little coffee because I like drinking coffee at night. One cup before I go to bed, I sleep like a fucking soldier.
Nice.
Because it takes me up, and then right down, I crash, ba-boom.
It's oh, over. Okay.
You follow the fucking? That's old school mentality. That's cocaine days. You gotta go up. What goes up must come down, cocksucker. You
see what I'm when I was testing the audio, and Waterbox are called, just because I was bored, I didn't want to talk to myself. And he was telling me a good way, because I was like, he was telling me how he does the edibles, and he goes out. I'm like, how do you do it? He says he drinks like an energy drink right after he eats the edible. So it's like a heroin brings down, cocaine brings you up. It's like a little mix. So that's how he walks around.
That's good for him.
I don't know.
The water bottle him jump out. Did he call the podcast today?
He just called me. I was just testing the audio. Okay.
He wanted to see what was crack-a-lacking.
Like. Yeah, I put it up on Twitter. But something weird happened today. I was never really emotional. But as I get older, I want to hear what you have to say about...
You're 25. What older?
About, well, I don't know. I'm older. That's what everyone says. Everyone says I'm young, but I feel old. The Boston bombing thing, they had all the videos today of the marathon. I started getting teary-eyed. I wasn't there for it, but just seeing the pictures and the people hugging. Like, you weren't in New York for 9/11, but how did that affect you?
I was pissed.
Really?
I didn't get pissed that morning. I was pissed later on because I know... what it does to people. Those people that were walking around that day, you know, I got pissed when I heard the stories of them taking the ferry over. Like, they were just fucking frozen. I can't imagine being at the Boston Marathon last year. That was one of the most thoughtless fucking things. Who knows why they did it? Who the fuck knows with these people nowadays, man?
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows? I did stupid shit when I was 21. I would never think of doing something like that for kicks. But who knows what their motives were and... whatever. They have a show on Discovery, National Geographic, about them getting caught. Did you see it?
From no, A-Z? I didn't see it.
Pretty fucking interesting in how they shot the kid and blah, 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 and the other kid went into a fucking boat and hid, and how the pictures, the FBI saw the pictures, and when the bomb went off, those two didn't move.
Yeah.
That's how they knew it was them. It was very interesting how the FBI catches you. And now, you know, man, we got fucking cameras everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got cameras everywhere. You have to assume there's a camera watching you at all times. Even a black and white little fucking porno camera that won't see your dick or your hair, but it sees you and it'll fucking show you in court. You know, some guy will come in and clear it up in fucking court. So, who the hell knows, Lee? My heart goes out. So, the Boston Marathon was today, correct?
Yeah, it was today. And you know what? I'm going to piss some people off, but, and tell me if I'm wrong, tell me. But just seeing all those people out there, it's something I don't see out here. I don't know what it is, but East Coast people in the towns, like, so there was so much pride for Boston, and it made me like, I started tearing up, and I don't feel that out here for people from this city, So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just don't interact with
this
them.
It's an empty city, man. Yeah. I have a lot of problems with this city. I have a lot of problems with friendships in this city and how they work, how everything is to let people know that they know you. After that, there's no friendship. There's no friendship. You know, when I grew up, those were friends I had around me. Those motherfuckers, I could count on them for anything. I had a great time with them when I went out. You know, when I went out, I had a good time with them from the heart. Here, I see people for a few hours, and I feel their fucking death. I feel, because maybe things aren't going their way. I when I'm around people who sold their fucking soul, I leave them, and I feel like shit for 3 or 4 fucking days. People sell their fucking soul. That's the people you fucking people clap for and cheer for and jump up and down for. These people sold their souls. You're like, Joey, what do you mean? The devil showed up with a pen? No, no. Somewhere along the line, they ignored something. Something natural that comes over you because they thought what they were doing is completely better than what somebody like you, somebody at home is doing. You know, they have this air to them that they're better than everybody because they have $3 or because they're on TV or because they've done a movie. And I've never understood that. For me, it's always been about the job for me. It's not because I'm better than anybody. I'm lucked out. I'm not even close to doing that shit. But I that's what I don't like about it. And that's why when you go to a Dodger game, people leave in the 6th fucking inning. You know, that's the big knock about the Dodger games. And yeah, parking is hard and walking out of it is hard. But it's like they're Johnny-come-lately fans. There's a word for those type of people. It's like
bandwagon?
Bandwagon. It's like after the Boston Red Sox won. The Boston Red Sox hat now is fucking as big as the Yankee hat. Maybe, you know, because everybody wants to wear Boston. For years when they were losing, nobody wore a Boston Red Sox hat. You understand me? It's amazing the loyalty that we have here. We have no loyalty. Like I said, it's between me getting a job or you getting a job. I'll badmouth fucking Lee to get the job, even though I've known you for 15 fucking years, you know?
Yeah.
I look at this town, I can tell you, I probably have 4 close friends, you know, and you're one of them, you know what I'm saying? Ari, I mean, that the rest are just fucking acquaintances because I know, I look at somebody and I know if I ever got in a beef and I had to call them to bail me out, the cash wouldn't be there. They'd hang up and make up a story how they couldn't get the ATM card, didn't work. And then I would look at them weird. I would never look at them the same way. So that's why I don't even put them close to me because I know these people aren't worth their weight in gold. It's fucking amazing the things you hear out here and the things that you go through out here and the commitment level and different levels of acting and stand-up and, you know, how for some people this is a flash in the pan and you see them 3 years later and they don't even do this no more. They're doing something completely different now because this was too hard or this is for faggots or you got to be gay to be in Hollywood. You know how many comics have come and fucking gone?
Mm-hmm.
And you see them years later, oh, are you still out there? And they make a little, yeah, I'm still out here, bitch, doing nothing. In the sun, lifting fucking kettlebells while you're out here sweating your fucking life off. I got insurance. I got a fucking pension. I wasn't supposed to have things like that. You heard my fucking story. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I don't give a fuck if you get heat. No. And there's some solid people out here.
Oh, and it's not the people, but maybe it's because
I've met a lot of people that aren't in the entertainment business that are very solid.
Oh, yeah.
When I go to towns like Whittier and all those places to do comedy, I meet some fucking solid people. But
do they have L.A. pride? Like, I just... From Boston and stuff, I always...
Like, when it comes to... But then again, you know, when you go to a Laker game, it's more to be seen. That's what people understand about out here. But that's going on with the Knicks, too. God forbid you don't have the first 3 rows in the Knicks game and people can't see you on TV and you're drinking a beer and you're cheering and you're yelling. You know, I never saw what that's all about. I'd rather stay home. I'd rather be on some fucking... I'd rather be on a fucking couch with you smoking a joint and goofing on you and talking about stupidity, about a podcast or something. That's been the way with me constantly.
Yeah.
It's really surprising when people go, I want to go into the green room or... I want to hang with you guys after a show. Listen, since I've known Rogan, I don't do nothing. They used to go to strip clubs, and then as the years that progress, they go to a bar. Then we go back to the hotel, and then you start doing less and less things, you know? There's no fucking party here. It's amazing how...
I said that in Tempe. We were sitting there after the show, and everyone was just quiet in the room. And like after the show, you're like, you're hungry? And Ari was like, eh. And we just all went back to our rooms. And I was like, this isn't like, I thought it was going to be a big party and go and hang out till 5 in the morning.
The comedy show.
Yeah.
That's the fucking party. That the party is doing the show and then going home. Like I've said 1,000 times, for years, I would consider those things real party. And after a comedy show, I'd go party. And guess what? by Saturday night, you're paying $22 to come see me, and I'm sucking.
Yeah.
I'm sucking because I'm tired. My fucking mind's not straight, and that's what happened to me for fucking years, man. What do you think, people just get funny? No, they put all the elements together. Maybe they were funny and they couldn't put a joke together. Maybe I could put a joke together, but the dedication of my commitment. Yeah, there's so many things. And then comes a point where one day you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you put five of the seven elements together and you move a little forward.
Yeah.
And that's what you helped me do. That's what we did. You understand me? But that's the whole thing of it. And that's with boxing. That's what happened with Robbie Lawler. He'd been around for 12 fucking years, knocking motherfuckers out, getting beat up, getting submitted. Comes back to the UFC. The guy's got a fire in his eye. Okay, he just lost the last fight for a championship round. But he's 32 years old. He's not going anywhere. He learned from that fight. He learned the same way how when Johnny Hendricks lost to GSP, he learned.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I'm using the MMA things, but you learn. You learn as you go across. And even if you lose trying some, now you know when you attack it again, you know what to look out for.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that try to escape from Cuba all the time. And maybe the fucking float won't last past 50 miles. Now they got to go back to the drawing board. Ooh, we got to wear more glue or more this. Or, you know, guys, you know, you're not going to get everything the first time.
And today I learned today, I was thinking about it today, how big experience was. Because I, when I got home, I was thinking about it. I didn't really panic when this happened. The biggest thing, I complained about those jobs I had. But the big, like, you learn that stuff is going to happen. And if you freak out, if you overreact, it hurts you.
On what level?
On, at least for me, if I overreact and I start getting worked up and I start playing with everything, I'm not going to see. Like when you lose something at your house, I always run around and you pull everything apart, you throw everything around.
You sit.
You're like,
you relax.
Relax.
You breathe and you retrace your steps and you'll find your fucking keys. It's amazing. I do it, especially even with cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Cell phones, I walked out of cars and go, what the fuck? I left my cell phone right there. It really is amazing. So, you know, people want to try shit and it doesn't succeed. It takes years to be a good comic. The way it takes years to be a good fighter, it takes years to be a good writer.
But that's the thing. Like, you probably, even when you were sucking 15 years ago, you learned something at one show that comes up now and you're like, oh, I'm not going to be freaked out about this.
Yeah, no. I remember being in Jacksonville, Florida, and going out into the audience and seeing, I used to judge the audience. I used to judge the fucking audience, and it used to judge me, and I'd bomb. So do you understand me? Out there, and I go, look at all those older people with white hair. They're not going to like my material. I just lost. I just got hit with the biggest punch, which is I lost before I even went on there.
Yeah.
And then I go, I won't look at them. And it was just so many things, and I would eat shit because I wouldn't do my material. I'd speed through the joke. I wouldn't take my time. And now I see old people. You saw what happened in Tempe.
Yeah.
Those old people that were there. And I went out there and saw them, and I go, I'm going to pull it back. And I go, fuck no. I'm going to open up this motherfucking valve. Because you could always close the valve, but you can't open it once you follow what I'm saying to you? It's like acting when you go to an audition and you walk in. Sometimes if you go in and the character's loud and you go in there the first time, he's going to get mad at the director because you're not loud enough or you're not, your energy isn't that high.
Okay.
I can't do nothing with you. If your energy's high coming in, I could push it backwards.
Yeah.
But if you're not, you follow the state of mind we're talking about here. Late night, Church of What's Happening Now, Monday, April 21st. Where's Tony Bennett, cocksucker? It's coming. No Tony Bennett tonight? What happened? You're slipping. This is what I'm talking about. Where is it?
It's coming. Hold on.
It's coming. It's supposed to be fucking lined up and prepared. I'm sorry we came up late today, the audio, but who the fuck? I'm not sorry. Shit happened. I hope you motherfuckers stayed up. Monday is Monday. We got till midnight to put this together. I'm still going to fire you up. You're still going to go out there on Tuesday and want to stab a motherfucker in the neck. It's the church with the Jew. I want to be around. Where's the water? To pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart.
Somebody twice as smart as I. Somebody who will swear
Sup, cocksuckers? You're home. You want to kick that up a little bit?
Okay, it's fine.
What the fuck? You got me over here like I'm deaf. You're going to eat the rest of that candy or throw it away? You'll leave it there for the ants.
I'll leave it. I mean...
Any other shit to eat here? We got nothing to eat here. No. I'll bring you something strong Wednesday.
Oh, good.
We got Ed Suarez calling.
Nice.
He hasn't called in a while. I love Ed Suarez. Two, see how he does it. What's going on, Wade? Turn that shit off. What's going on, my brother? I already lit a candle for the old lady. I put some glasses of water out. You know me. I get it all done out of the fucking way easy. What's going on with you, my brother?
Just fucking... And I know we've talked about this a lot, but the weight thing for me is it's always been there. Like, I've never...
What'd you do with that pot roast? I know you ate that.
No, right? It's in my car.
Oh, it's gone now.
Yeah.
You might as well just dump it because your car
smells. Well, no, because... So, here's... Like, it's... I think everyone has their addiction sort of thing. And for me, I think part of it's an addiction. I think most of it's laziness, honestly. But ever since, like you and Terry... It must just get to a point after a bunch of years where you don't go out as much. But ever since I started going out, like I put the weight back on, and it just... Luckily, I have... I think the thing that some people don't have, like when you go on TV and you see like the 2,000-pound person, is I luckily, when I get to a certain point, I'm like, okay, I gotta bring this back. I'm so... Trust me, I shouldn't have let it get to this point. But it's... Luckily, I feel like I have that in my brain where I'm not, I don't think I could get to 1,000 pounds. I probably could, but it's just so I've been working on that. I've talked to people about joining a gym. I would love to get a bike, but the people around here are crazy, so I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Start with walking. It all starts with the walk. You're not gonna go to, so if you boring, can't walk. Yeah. You're not gonna go to the gym. If you don't walk, you're not gonna go to the fucking gym. Just trust me. If you can't get yourself to walk, what's going to get you in a car to drive to a fucking gym to be around people who look like David and Goliath to fucking work out?
Yeah.
You got to start walking. And that's all I'm saying to you. I haven't been pushing you. I've been telling you to go for a walk. For the last 2 months, what have I been telling you?
No, and it's...
Go for a walk.
It's the easiest thing in the world. I don't
give a fuck about what's going on or who you're busy. You get out of here at 9 o'clock, the car ain't going nowhere. Walk to 10th Planet. Go read the fucking wall and walk back. That's it. This isn't hard. Today with my bad knee, I was sitting there, I wrote, I emailed, I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I sat outside, I tried to write a joke, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I went upstairs, I took 2 fucking baby aspirins, it was about 12:15, I went downstairs, I rotated my knees in all directions, I did these hip things, I fucking stressed a little bit. And I said, fuck it. You know, the knee's going to hurt whether or not I work out or not.
Yeah.
I might as well work it out a little bit. I'm not going to jump fucking ladders and be Johnny Goomba, but I'm going to get the blood going. I did 10 sets of swings, and I did fucking 5 sets or 6 sets of clean and jerks. I got nice and sweaty. Took me 35 minutes. I picked up a 45 and a 35. I walked 50 yards and 50 yards back, and I put the weights in the car. And I was done for the day.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know what? I didn't eat sugar today. You know, I ate that fucking chocolate bar, and I ate 2 of those things with 10 calories apiece. I don't drink soda no more. I was telling my wife today, the only way not to give your child, to stop your child from drinking soda, is by not drinking soda in front of them.
Yeah.
My mom made a mistake with me. You know, it was funny. I took my friend Ed Brancaccio to the fights with me this week, and he also came to the show. I haven't seen Eddie in probably 25 years, and he lives in Orlando, and he contacted me about a month ago, and we were going back and forth, and I got him tickets for the show, and then Joe said, you want to take somebody to UFC, so I got him tickets, and we were talking on the phone, and he goes, do your friends and the people you talk to know how spoiled you were when you were a kid? And I go, yeah, I think they know. You know, I've said it 1,000 times to people. I love my mother. I miss my mother. If I tell you that after 30-something years, I don't miss my mother. When people talk about their moms and they're not tight with them, I get pissed off at them because I don't have a mom. You only get one shot of being a good son. And I failed at that, you know. God knows how she's looking at me from up there, whether she's in her hell or purgatory.
I don't think you failed at that.
And, I didn't go to, you know, I didn't do what her dreams were, well, whatever. But if my mother wouldn't have passed away, I would have been a different human being altogether. I don't think I would have been doing what I'm doing now. You know, for me to become what I'm doing now, I had my ass lit under the fire. You know, we talk about all the time about our mutual friend. We have a mutual friend that will not quit his job. Mm-hmm. And he's lived in this town for 15 years, and he's had very minimal success. And the guy's talented, but I'm telling you, it's because he hasn't quit his job. Because he doesn't have the iron, the fire under his fucking ass. So whenever he goes into those audition rooms, or he does all that shit, and he goes all the way to the end, his mind doesn't take the mile because they're comfortable. And he's never going to move forward until he quits that job. Never. It's going to be, he's never going to book nothing. When he goes in there and that hunger is shown, that hunger, it shows for a reason, man. And people buy it. Like if you're selling something and people see you're desperate, they smell it on you.
Yeah.
But when you're an actor or you're a comic or you're, that desperation becomes motivation. Do you follow what I'm saying? That desperation becomes motivation. If I have a gram of blow and I got to sell it to you to eat tonight, I'm going to sell you that gram of blow. Do you understand me? What I was lacking in my career as a stand-up comic wasn't the funniness. It was that I wasn't selling nothing. I wasn't telling nobody about it. I wasn't telling nobody. What was it? This podcast gave me the first level of telling some people what was in my heart. And either you get on board or you don't. Writing and tweeting and shit like that tells people. And I say some fucked up things, but my heart's in the right place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really weird that I would have been a complete different person, Lee. Because I was soft, man. But because my ass was lit under the fire, you know, I understand. I still don't wear underwear today. I have a box of underwear at the house, brand new ones, and I wear them to work out because all my dick looking like Arnold's and shit. You know, remember when they took a picture of him on TMZ with his dick moving around in Santa Monica? That's why you wear underwear. But the reason all those years I didn't wear underwear is because I knew I could do without. I got to learn what you could do without. I mean, you can move forward. That's why when people tell me I need to do this, I look at them and go, what are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? You know, my uncle, who we did the interview here with that time, my uncle gave me the biggest lesson in life. And he's like, I'll help you. I'll help you with what's coming to you. But all your luxuries, you're not going to get a dime out of me. Weed, booze, the movies. You know, I'll give you a place to stay and I'll fucking feed you. And that's what, you know, I had to learn how to get on my own. A lot of people don't know how to do that. We had this discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know how to leave in the daytime at 8 in the morning and come back with $50. I will leave this motherfucker tomorrow at 8 in the morning. I'll come back with $48. But I'll come back with something. Even if I got to rob a fucking purse at 5 o'clock. Because that's the way, you know, when I was out there, that's how I was banging it. So now I took that same energy and I twisted it over to this and I put it into stand-up. For years, when I was out here, that's why I don't understand when stand-ups go away on the weekend. I don't know about weddings. I don't know nothing about these things. You know, we had an interesting talk this morning about guys with sports. That when I was in Boston, some guy came up to me. He's like, not for nothing. You have heard Dean on your fucking show. You know, why don't you ask him about the early calls? You know, it's ruining MMA. And I looked at him and I go, don't you owe your credit card? Don't you owe credit card? Do you not owe credit card money? Yeah. Then why are you worried about Herb Dean? He ain't worried about you, bitch. He ain't worried about you. These guys that are into sports and they call up, I think the third draft pick should be. Do you owe money? Yeah. Then what are you doing on the phone? You're talking about sports, you fucking Momo. What the fuck is wrong with you? And I learned what was important and what wasn't important and what you could do without. That's why a year ago I was telling you on a Sunday, I don't know what it is to sit in front of a fucking... When I went to the UFC this week with Joe, I'm very thankful that he gave me a ticket and I went and sat. But by the third fight, there's got to be something else I could be doing to make fucking $3.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something. People at home are like, Joey, don't you relax? What fucking relax? What fucking relax? That's what the problem is with people. Everybody wants to fucking relax. Everybody wants to go on vacation. Everybody thinks they have a vacation coming to them. I've never seen nothing like this in my life. People, I have friends that go away in Jersey every 8 months. Like they think they have a vacation coming to them. Then you talk to them and they tell you how rough life is. Yeah, but you know, we're saving money because it's tight right now. He got his overtime cut. Then what the fuck are you doing in Bali?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing in Bali if you got your overtime cut? I don't understand prioritizing in life, you know? So, what are we talking about, Lee? Let me get me
started. It's just...
You get me over here all high and shit.
I mean, I don't know what it is for other people, and we were talking about it, and it's just... I could blame food addiction, and I think that's part of it.
You got no food addiction. You got no food addiction. You don't eat in the morning. I don't know what the fuck you're eating.
Yeah.
I know you're eating chocolate bars somewhere. You know, but I tell you what the problem is, Lee. You don't want to move. I love you like my brother.
No.
And for the love of Christ, I never seen anything like that.
I work hard, But I'm a lazy motherfucker. I love...
You cannot... Yeah. We live in California. How the fuck are you? There's days I call and I go, have you been out in the sun? No, and you giggle. And I gotta tell you, ain't nothing funny.
Yeah.
It's just, embarrassing. It's I call you a fool and you haven't showered.
Oh, well, that was this weekend. I showered.
No, I don't give a fuck. You gotta wash that ass when you wake up in the morning. That's part of being, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And then at 4, you gotta take another shower. Even if you didn't do nothing, that asshole gets stinky and those balls get fucking stinky.
You never spend a weekend if your wife isn't home?
Not in a million fucking years would I allow that to happen. Not, that you ever, at 2 o'clock in the night, you scratch that nut and smell your fingers and see if you're going to go to bed with that stink nut on your fucking... Are you crazy?
No, I mean...
Are you fucking crazy?
I agree with a lot of what you say. Sometimes...
That's part of getting up. That's part of getting moving.
That's true.
That's part of getting moving. How can you not take a shower? That's part of the whole movement. That gets you going. The blood hits the circulation. You bend over. You wipe your ass. You clean your toes. That's the fucking initial. You put your clothes on. You go out. You see the sun. You say, Lord, thank you for giving me a fucking another day in this miserable fucking life. I'm going to take this and I'm going to make this day into something. And you walk around the block and you're back in a half hour. And you moved. And now that doesn't give you a green light to go eat a fucking yum-yum donut like I used to do. I used to walk the yum-yum donuts. That's not a bad move. You know, you come in plus the fucking
points. That's something I would do.
Sure, but if that's what it takes to get you out of the house,
yeah,
then so be it. If you tell you, me and Terry used to do it way before. When we fucking moved up here and I was still on the walking binge before my knees got fucked up, we would walk every night to Yum Yum, get a donut, and then walk home.
Yeah. That's the thing. I have to get... I've never gotten in the habit of... I'm in the habit of hanging out and being on the computer and watching TV. I need to get in the habit of getting out. I feel like if you do it every day, then it doesn't feel like hard.
And dog, right from here.
Yeah.
Right from here. You got to know where to go at 9. Right from here. D'Agostino's coming at 10. You're sitting here in this fucking darkness. Get out. Go for a walk down to 10th Planet. 10th Planet Burbank is down the corner. Go see a little dragons down there jumping up and down, and you walk back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what? It's 20 minutes when you really think about it. And it's weird because I like walking to that weed store by my house. And sometimes if I'm right in the morning, I go, fuck it. At 10 o'clock, I'll walk over to the weed store, even if I don't need weed. I'm not smoking weed. I just walk over and get like a cookie.
Yeah.
Put it in my desk just to get me out, Lee.
That's why.
Just to get me out.
I was always big, but I put weight on here because in Boston, I'd walk. I had to walk everywhere.
No, there's no. Here, it's very weird, but, you know, I don't know. What are you going to do in a gym if you join a gym? What exercise are you going to do? What are you going to focus on?
It's just cardio, so biking. I've heard spin class is really fun. That's the thing. I don't even know where to start. I honestly just need cardio right now, I think.
Just walk. Yeah. Just start with walking. After you walk 30 days, then we'll go join the gym and we'll see where you're at then. Something that, you know, to have a beginner's class to get you in slowly. You know, you're not going to, you're a young guy. So in a year, you'll be in a lot better shape than I'm in no matter what the fuck you do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even in good shape. I'm just saying that.
That's why
I try to do cardio, but yeah. I'm still breathing heavy. I'm not going to lie to nobody, you know.
That's why I was on that dog thing for a while because I felt like it would force me to get out of the house. But it's so much responsibility. I wouldn't want... Now what do they know if I don't get out of the house? They have the fucking... the pee-pee pads. It drives me nuts. So people don't leave the house now with the dogs. And it's just... It's a lazy culture. Fucking, they have those websites. You can get food delivered 24 hours a day. It's an easy thing to do to put on the weight. It's fucking... You don't... If I didn't want to, I could not leave the house.
In the back of your mind.
Yeah.
Do you think at times television and media wants you to be heavy at times?
Fuck yeah. Because then you're at home.
You feel that?
You're watching TV. I'm not really big into conspiracy theories, but if you're not out there protesting or if you're not out there, if you're just sitting at home watching TV, looking at the ads, you're not doing anything. You're not going to notice them doing stuff. You're not gonna get mad at them for doing stuff. I really think that, entertainment is a way to make us, especially with the phones, it's a way to make us not notice things. Like, especially at the airport, when everyone's looking at their phone, that's why I think people don't get mad at TSA, because you're kind of just doing that.
That's why I don't put Facebook, I have Twitter on my phone,
mm-hmm.
I have Hotmail on my phone, that's it. All those other avenues I do not have on my phone. I don't want to be on my phone all day. I don't want to be part of the internet all fucking day. That's why I do what I gotta do in the fucking morning, and I get the fuck off that. Get the fuck off that, because you know what? If you do look at it all day, there ain't nothing on there. Nothing that has nothing. No, Lindsay Lohan lost a kid while she was shooting. She lost 18 fucking kids. She's been doing blow for 30 fucking years. All of a sudden, she lost a kid. She didn't have sperm in her. You know, no.
And the big thing, and people learn it at work because there's no real. The biggest thing I've learned doing this is, yeah, I'm making less money, but I'm happier and I get more done. There's no reason to be in an office for 40 hours, 60 hours a week.
No.
A lot of that time is spent on the internet. So fucking you find the things, you go look at menus. Yelp is great, but Yelp, a lot of people are just looking at the foods and it's
you know how many times I looked at Yelp? None. How many times I looked at Instagram? None.
Oh, I don't have Instagram yet.
It's ridiculous. Off, yeah. You let come into your life to distract you what you left to come into your life to distract you. And there's things that you know you have to do, you just refuse to do them. I talk about me. I've been having a lot more success lately when I just open up my page to write than when I connect it to Twitter and Facebook. Ooh, a little something for the fucking late night crowd. You know what I'm saying? Let's take. Ooh, yeah. Tremendous.
I'm going to mark that chair from when we move. That's your chair.
You like that, huh, cocksucker? It's probably marked already. It's probably melting. The leather is melting. The Corinthian leather.
Yeah.
But what are we talking about?
Just how fucked up technology is. And the thing is, it's kind of like what you were talking about earlier, where people who get entitled when they sell their soul. It's really fucking easy, and it's really fucking entertaining now to watch a clip or watch a movie or do all that stuff on your phone. And it'd be better not to. The biggest thing for me, I don't sit on the couch. I go home, I have my laptop and my phone on my bed, and I have a TV in the bedroom.
That's even worse.
Yeah, it's terrible. I have to get out of there. I don't spend any time in my living room. I'm in my bed. It's comfortable. And it's fucking easy, and you gotta get out of there.
And how many bags of chips you got around there?
I don't have any.
I know you got jelly beans.
Peanut butter, marshmallows. I have no food in my room. But Paula yelled at me because I wanted to get a mini fridge for drinks in my room. And she's like, "You can't fucking have. It's 2 steps. It's 10 steps to the fridge." I was like, "Okay," but I thought about it. I wanted a fucking mini fridge.
Out of the house. You're young. Yeah. Man. You're young. You know, I can't believe some of this shit. I can't believe it. It's not. Maybe it's a generation gap, you know. Maybe it's. But I can't believe it at times.
And it's getting worse. I honestly think it's getting worse. That app people told you about, Vine, the video one. There's 6-year-old kids on it. So that there are parents who maybe aren't home with their kids, or they have to work too much. And I think kids are just gonna get fatter. Honestly, I think. In a few years, I mean, that's why at movie theaters they're putting new seats in. It's because people are too fat to sit in them, and they have to put bigger cup holders in it.
It's amazing. I don't remember coming from Cuba. I don't remember none of that shit, but I remember my mom going, you know, you could stay in front of the house. And it went, you know, you went out all day.
Yeah, I never did that.
You went out at 8 in the morning, and you played till 12, and you went up and got a sandwich. Then you went back outside and you played again till dinner time. And then if you were lucky, your mom would let you go right back out. And you ran, and every day you pushed. I remember crossing the street. I remember crossing Broadway in New York City. My mom going, "Do not cross Broadway." What? As soon as she stuck her head back inside, I counted to 10. I would run right to the corner and we'd run across the street and run back. That's why when I see these lazy motherfuckers waiting for a light and walking like dump-da-dump-da-dump, I fucking go crazy. Like the ones that by the library when I'm walking over, you know, those things that they have, those yellow things across the street.
Yeah.
That you have to stop your fucking car. And it's always some kid with a backpack walking that should be running across the fucking street. Like I used to run across the street. There was no 30-second light that blinked and told you 28, 27, stop. You ran across that motherfucker. There was no instruction. You took a chance, bitch.
Yeah.
You took a fucking chance, you know? So now you don't. I did all that. And then when we moved to Jersey, it was till 10 o'clock at night. Till 10 o'clock at night. When I was in Fort Lauderdale, I was talking to Kathleen Keltos, and she goes, "I remember you hearing the basketball." They lived right next to the basketball court, and my father having to go out there and go, "Guys, really?" And it was you. And he would say, "Fucking Coco, he won't go home." You know, when I wanted to be good at basketball, I knew there was only one way to be good at basketball. You had to play fucking basketball.
Yeah.
Jerry West took 300 jump shots a day. 300. boom, beside the games and the running and the riding the bike and the layups and the fucking sprinting. He took 300 jump shots a day. That means he jumped 300 fucking times a day. I did that every day for four fucking years. Five fucking years. From the seventh grade to like junior year in high school, even when I wasn't playing. I would get a ball and go out there in the winter when I would shovel the fucking courts. You want me to get people to call in here and tell you how me and Chucky McBreen used to shovel the fucking... Better yet, we'd walk to like a court that had good competition, okay, and we'd shovel the court so the kids in that neighborhood could come out and we could play against them. I'm going to have Chucky call in to tell you what the shit we were doing at 14 in the 8th grade. When I graduated in the 8th grade, it was one of the snowiest years ever. I didn't graduate in the 8th grade because I had to go to five-star basketball camp, and it started like June 28th. You were out of school by June 10th. But it snowed so much in 78 that we were in school till the end of fucking June.
Oh, wow.
And it snowed, but we think guys like me and Chucky and Whitey O'Donnell and Mahoney and David Ruiz, we stayed in? Fuck no. As soon as they called school night, we call, get your gloves, bitches. We wear gloves. It was so cold that the ball wouldn't bounce. You know when the oxygen in the fucking ball will not bounce? That's how cold it was out.
That's hysterical.
So, I mean, so it started then with me. When I got to be about my junior year, I went from, once my mother died and I started lifting weights with those guys, my appetite went nuts. And I went up to 194, and one summer I went on a tuna fish, American cheese, and milkshake diet. The whole summer. I would drink a protein shake in the morning, a scoop of ice cream, 16 ounces of milk, 3 scoops of protein, 4 eggs, wheat germ, fucking everything in that thing. Vitamin C, fish liver oil, and I just guzzle it, the Yoo-Hoo, I guzzle it down, and then I eat a can of tuna with crackers with no mayonnaise, just hot sauce for lunch. You have no fucking idea, and I used to lift with Danny Bianculo. You know Danny that calls here?
Yeah.
When I told the story about me sweating on his cousin when I was up doing the fucking upside down bench presses and I had a sweat bead on my nose, and when I went to hand him the weight, the bead went off my nose and into his fucking mouth. I mean, this is...
So when did you start putting the weight on?
When I moved to Los Angeles. When I moved to... Doug Stanhope has a picture of me in 97 that I was about 235. Then I immediately went up to about 265.
Because you're fucking driving and it's...
And I was okay, but I was also bad sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Bad sleep contributes to it, not drinking enough water. I wasn't taking vitamins, zero exercise, zero muscle, because the more muscle you build... See, right now you're 25. You could start lifting weights for your weight loss program.
You think so?
I know so, because you're going to lift light weights and do reps, so you fucking burn that fat. You burn
Lifting weights? See, I don't even know. This is how stupid I am.
Yeah, no,
lifting weights burns fat?
Well, if it's lightweight, five sets of six builds muscle mass if you drink protein, you know.
Okay.
People argue it's 30 grams of protein 5 times a day to gain muscle mass, like real muscle mass, you know.
Okay.
Now they have protein shakes that are 42 grams of protein and 58 grams of protein. When I was into it, it was 30 grams of protein per meal, 50 grams, and that's a lot. Like, if you look at a can of tuna and 2 eggs, it's 15 fucking grams. You still got to eat. What's going on? Does it sound bad or something?
No, it's fine. Because
you're looking at it like somebody took you $10.
Just checking.
And that's what it is. So, like, when I went on this, when I was started at this weight loss, I was 418. And what I'd do is I'd go to the gym, to the YMCA, and I'd ride the bike every day more and more.
Yeah, that's what I like.
When I first went in there, it was 3 minutes, my friend. I was sweating, breathing heavy, dizziness, saying I wasn't going to come back in there. But every week I'd do an extra minute. And then you start doing a three. And then I would go on the punching bag. And I wouldn't move my feet. I would just move my hips. So I would be going, you know, like from here to here, boom. And I'd just be moving. I'd do it for 30 minutes. And that's it. And I stuck to my Weight Watcher points.
Yeah.
I wasn't eating edibles. And they're easy. It was very surprising how easy it is. And I understood why people just said, fuck it. I understand. Because nobody knows where to really start.
Right. It's hard. It's especially... For people who've never done it, it's a lot easier to do what you've been doing, and it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm not. I don't mean to complain about it or whine about it. It's just, it's never been who I. I'm always gonna be a bigger guy. I'm never gonna be a weightlifter guy, but I do want to be
healthier.
Fat guy.
You can't walk from here to the car and be sweating profusely.
No.
You can't do that. I understand. Like I said, for years, I lived across the street from the YMCA, and I wouldn't go.
You know what? The thing that got me this weekend was when we went to Vegas, I just by the grace of God didn't need the seatbelt extender. And like it clicked. And I was like, fuck, if I need the seatbelt extender, that's fucking, that's a bad thing. So I was like, okay, let's hit that level again. Did you ever have to use that at 418?
Fuck yeah. All the time. When she was showing it, I'd call her over. As she was showing him, give that to Uncle Joey. Now I got 3 or 4 inches. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it was getting tight there for a while. For about 3 months ago, it was tight there. When Terry had the baby, it was tight a little longer than 3 months ago. It really is fucking amazing, man, the weight thing with this country. But it's just uneducated. You know, people are just uneducated. Nothing. It's nothing to do with laziness. Once you understand how easy it is that you have to burn more than what you put in, yeah, and then you find tricks. Like if you got to eat 3 apples to get started, then you eat 3 apples, bro. Yeah. You know, one thing about Weight Watchers I learned, that's one of the greatest sayings. If you're not hungry enough to eat an apple, then you ain't hungry.
Right.
You know, and then you're really hungry. And it's a beautiful fucking statement, you know. It's funny how you, this weekend I was writing, and I'm writing this autobiography. And I was thinking about how I really never had anything about the latter years. I have all the things in the early development of what I was trying to accomplish, which I have no fucking idea. But I had nothing later on. And something on the plane, it was a long fucking plane ride to Orlando. I was riding, and it made me think about 1993 and what my life was like and how simple it was and how that's when the beginning of this started. So
where were you in 93?
Okay, so in 91, I separated from my wife. In 90, 91, 90, October 90. By 91, I was doing comedy, I think. Oh, no. 91, October 91, I separated from her, and I decided to go for it. And then I went into a coke haze and pills, and I went back east, and I stayed with Georgie and Mike Ronnie for a while. And then I got my life together a little bit, and I realized how badly I want to do comedy, and I was frustrated. You know, there's nothing worse than having a dream, and you're fucking frustrated. You want that dream to speed up. You know, you just want it to get to a place where at least you're coping. And I knew that I had when I was in New York those months, I was in New York for 9 months. I think I got on stage 8 times. And I'd walk around telling people I was a comedian, but I was just, you know, the addiction had me. And every time I'd go to do comedy, I'd stop in the city and buy coke. And by the time I got to the club, I'd do a line of coke and then run, leave.
Oh, jeez.
You have no fucking idea. So for you people who are trying to get into anything, whether it's playing the piano or going back to school, you know, we all fucking procrastinate. I don't want you to think that we don't, you know, one of the purposes of this podcast is we all put our pants on one leg at a fucking time. I'm sick and tired of this people looking down and saying, who gives a fuck? And I went back and I got this apartment. I dated this girl and she lived upstairs and she had moved out. One day I seen the landlord and he liked me when I was dating her. And I go, he goes, where are you? What's going on? And I'm looking for a place. He goes, I'm renting my down place, $400 a month. And it was basically the Rocky apartment. Okay, it was basically Rocky's apartment. It was a small kitchen, a refrigerator, a living room with a door, and the bedroom was so small. There was no room in the bedroom. It was just a bed.
You just opened the door, yeah.
The door didn't open. I took the door off the hinges. The door covered. That's how small. I would just go to the bed and fall over.
Yeah.
And walk to the side. And I had an air conditioner. I bought it for $100 cheap. And the apartment worked for me. You know, it was a. And I think about that apartment. If I ever made money, I was going to go buy that apartment. Because there were so many aspects of that apartment that, first of all, the walls were littered with cocaine.
Oh, yeah, was it the one you threw the cocaine into the wall?
I used to throw the empty packages, and one night I said, there's got to be cocaine in one of the packages, and I ripped the wall down. And the landlord goes like, what happened in here? Oh, nothing, the wall got wet. And it was also where my dream of comedy came from. It was fucking bad. Like, it was just bad. I would go do these rooms at night. And I was dedicated at the time. At that time, I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what needed to be done. You know, I'd started comedy in July of 91. It was January of 94, and I had to fucking do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my ex-wife was barking on me. I was 31 years old at that time. I was doing comedy 3 years. I wasn't really even committed to comedy. I was just telling people, that's why I'm okay with jiu-jitsu now. Because even if I go to jiu-jitsu once a week, I know as long as I go, that's the most important thing. You know, I wanted to go to class tonight. I know my knee wouldn't hold it. I have an audition tomorrow at 11 o'clock for a great movie. I'll tell you about it in a second.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know if I'll make 12:30 class, but I'll do something tomorrow. I'll hit the bag, and then I'll work out with John Evan on Wednesday. I'll just do a private and work on sweeps and escapes and shit like that, you know, because I know that when all this gets better, I put more time into it. Sometimes in your life, you can only do something once. It's when you say to me, I haven't been able to go. That's when I have to look at you and go, come here for a second. There's 7 days in a week. There's five classes. You couldn't make one of them. That's how busy you were. And you go, well, you can make one of them.
Yeah.
One of them is all you need to keep you alive. If I go to one jiu-jitsu and I do two kettlebells and take a walk around, and then when I travel, I jump in the pool, I did my quota for the week. I stretched. I got the blood going, you know. And it was just really weird. I moved into this apartment, and I knew what I had to do, man. I really had to go for it as a comedian. I had a day job. God knows what the fuck I did. I know drugs were involved. You know, I know drugs were involved. I'm not going to lie to anybody and tell you that at this point, I was still a fucking nomad. I was still a fucking renegade. So, but it got to the point where I respected comedy. I got to respect it. And I knew that there was no fun, no money, no sucky. No sucky, no fucky. That meant if I didn't get on stage, it was just like when you were a kid and you told your mom you didn't go to school, and at 3 o'clock you tried to leave, and she goes, where are you going? To play. You didn't go to school today. You're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel better than that. I can't take it. And you're like, holy shit, she fucked me. Yeah, you were sick at 8. I wouldn't want you to go out and get sicker.
Yeah.
Do you understand me? And you're like, fuck. You know?
Yeah.
So I knew in my mind there was no cocaine until I got on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I had built this thing when I was in Boulder. And it was really weird. I was having a hard time. That guy, Matt Berry, Matt Woods, insulted me and told me I should just quit if I wasn't going to commit. And that really fueled me. And at that point, I was going anywhere to do comedy. I was going to poetry readings. I was a fucking animal. And I wasn't getting anywhere. You know, HBO wasn't calling. You know, I had 18 minutes of material, but HBO wasn't calling. You know, and it's so frustrating for people at home that whatever you want to do, whether it's ballet. And I would fucking go home at night. At that time, there was a comedy newspaper. And I would read the paper. And at the back of the paper, it had all the comedy clubs. And I would circle the ones where I wanted to go. And I would cry. Because in my mind, I was ready. Jesus Christ, I was so far from being ready.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I was ready. I just need HBO to see me, or Jay Leno, or somebody. And I'm going to make it, you know. And I think back at those times, and I'm going, well, how fucking retarded was I? Was I fucking crazy, you know, running those leagues? And yeah, there's people who at 3 or 4 years, they're running with people, but you always got to catch up. Some people are more gifted than others in the beginning, but somewhere along the line, that harder worker, if you slack, I'll catch up to you. And that's exactly what happened. There was a ton of people who were better than me, and they had the mechanics. And I don't even think I'm that good. I just got the mechanics and the basics down. My voice is higher. These are little things you learn throughout the year. But that apartment, Lee, that apartment meant so much to me. Like, the day I die, I guarantee my spirit's going to want to go to that apartment and just say goodbye, because my heart was broken in there. Like, I was at my bottom ever. That's where I lived when I punched John. That's where I lived when I was fighting with my wife, when the cops came. There were so many breakdowns. My addiction was fucking horrible there. It was horrible in that apartment.
So on paper, you should hate that apartment.
No, because I owe it a lot. I owe it a lot because it didn't kill me. I didn't die in that fucking thing, you know? That apartment, I still remember getting in my car telling the landlord I'm coming back in 3 months. I loved that apartment that much. It was so nitty, so gritty, and it smelled like pain. And it was clean. There was no mice. It was fucking clean. Brand new carpet, the paint. I had a TV. I had a bench for the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
So if you came over to eat, I'd take the weights off. But when I was there, I'd put the weights on. I had a Sony Trinitron. I would lift weights, and I'd do bench press and bent over rows. I had two dumbbells. And I would lift weights. That was my living room. And I had a couch I bought for $30 and a fan. I had the air conditioner in the room. And in that refrigerator, there was never food, not once. In the 2 years or 3 years I lived there, it was just fat Thai. That's when I used to drink 2 fat Thais for every 8-ball.
You had a system?
In those days, I did. So, you know, it's... I think about that apartment, and I think about the pain I had in that apartment. How I felt fucking stuck. And I really wasn't. I was just making my plan. You know, Fidel went into the mountains to make his plan.
Mm-hmm.
It took him like 3 years to make his plan. Then there was no stopping him. You know, and that's what I was doing in that little fucking apartment. So for people who thought I was procrastinating or whatever, I was just setting up my mind for what was coming. When I left that apartment, I never looked back. Right. From comedy. I never, ever looked back. It was like, that was my basic training. I did it. On Mondays, I used to go to an Australian bar. It wasn't really Australian. It was just an Australian theme.
Yeah.
And they had a stage. And in the back, they had a little room built into the wall like a cave. And there'd be 10 people there on Monday. And I'd go there every Monday and do 15, 20 minutes. On Sundays, I used to go to a square line. Do you know what line dance is?
Yeah.
They used to have a line dancing class at some country bar. And I would go there, and it's from 7 to 8, they did comedy after country line dancing. I would just drive there to bomb. But I went every Sunday. Tuesdays, I go to Club 56 in Commerce City. They gave they gave you a $25 gift certificate for food. So you, and plus, they bought you dinner that night. So you could either drink or whatever, and then I hit somebody with a microphone in the head, and they 69 me out of there, whatever, 86 me out of there. And then on Thursdays was, what's the Mexican bar in Burbank? Across El Torito.
Oh, my God. El Torito.
How horrible are those fucking things?
Yeah.
You eat in there, your fucking intestine comes out of your asshole. You got to tuck it back in. It's this, I went there for happy hour. Somebody told me about 2 years ago, go there to happy hour. And I went there with my wife to the one across from the Tonight Show. I almost fucking died of herpes.
No.
What do you mean, no?
The food there.
It's horrible. Yeah. Horrible. But they used to have an open mic on Thursday nights, and they give you dinner and a gift certificate for the following week. So that's what I did every Thursday. It was 50 miles from my house. I would borrow $3 for gas for the Acura. And I would drive all the way down
there. You would drive there for a free meal?
In those days, you had to. And then Friday and Saturday, I wouldn't do comedy because that's professional comedian night. So sometimes I grabbed a guest set, but I was so fucking frustrated because I wanted more and I wanted it fast. But that place taught me patience. So sometimes you just have to, I know I get a lot of emails from people and they're young people and they want to do this and they want to do that and they get frustrated. I got some really disturbing emails this week. And, you know, listen, man, it's like Lee said, when you lose your keys and you get frustrated, that's when you're not going to find them. It's when you sit down, make a plan, take, you know, and it's tough for a guy like me to tell you because I never do this, but I do know that a man without a plan is not a fucking man. So whatever you're trying to get yourself into, ballet, writing, fucking stand-up, tiptoe dancing, I don't fucking know, bow and arrows, you know, it's a process, and it's a slow fucking process. And if you want to rush it, yeah, you'll make some quick strides, but you're still going to have to put the time in at the end. So, you know what I'm saying? Let me give some shout-outs, cocksucker. There's no call tonight. This is straight OG gangster. You know what I'm talking about? Dead Squad Australia and the rest of the Dead Squad community. I fucking love you cocksuckers. Inside Billy's Head, Joe Aaron, my buddy WWF guy, Mustafa Ochoa. I like it. Leo Hernandez and Stephen Buse, you bad motherfucker. Bad motherfucker. I also want to give a shout out to Onnit this weekend. I slept 3 hours Sunday, got off the plane, went home, did the turnaround 180 and stayed awake all fucking day. And I felt tremendous. I didn't take a nap. I went to dinner with the family. I went to the park with the baby. Onnit works, guys. I'm sick and fucking tired of talking about how Onnit works. I'm sick and fucking tired. Sick and fucking tired. Whether it's the Shroom Tech, the Alpha fucking Brain, the ropes, they're coming out with new shit. They just did a breakthrough, not a breakthrough, a press release on the Alpha Brain, you know, the Shroom Tech Sport. I took the Shroom Tech, whatever, immune, because I was going to be on the plane in Disneyland, in Disneyville, with all those fucking kids. So I took fucking Shroom Tech immune for the plane and stuff. Guys, if you're not fucking around with Onnit, you're slipping. You're really slipping. Go to the Onnit. Go to Onnit.com. Look at all the shit they got available. Then go to joeydiaz.net, and there's a box there. Go to that box and press in
Church,
C-H-U-R-C-H. You're 10% off, plus you get on the list. They got a Stay Onnit program where we send you stuff at the first of the month. Onnit is great. We're not fucking around. Go to Onnit.com. Go to joeydiaz.net. Look at the tour dates. Maybe I'm coming to your fucking hometown. Whatever the hell, you want to jump up and down and take an edible with Uncle Joey. Lee's going to Austin with me.
Fuck yeah.
You know, shit like that.
Come to Austin.
Go to joeydiaz.net and see what we got. Also, for you fucking bearded motherfuckers, Lee included, Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club, fucking, listen, people hit me up with emails every week thanking me for anything, whether it's Dollar Shave Club, Hulu, Onnit, because they know I don't fuck around. Go to Dollar Shave Club. They got 3 different packages to you. Why are you fucking around? They can make you look like Liberace. Look at me. I'm an ugly motherfucker. But the skin's looking a lot better. You think that's because I'm doing something? Yeah, I'm drinking water. But that shave butter, tremendous for the ingrown fucking hairs, okay? The shavers, they come $1, $6, and $9. Three different packages for your fucking budget. You know what? You can't do the dollar one. You can't do the dollar a month, which is 12 a year. Then you know what? You deserve to grow a beard and fall asleep and wake up when you're 80 like Ichabod Frame, you fucking Momo. They got a $6 plan. You get the razor once a month. Plus, you get four packages. How many razors? Four razors a month with two fucking blades. If you get the $9 package, you get the four razors with the double blades and the aloe strip. You'll look tremendous. Also, for an extra couple dollars, some extra Gitas, you get the one wipe Charlie's, your asshole. You can wipe your nutsack. You wash cum off her tits. Whatever the fuck you want to do. And her tits will smell like peppermint. Guaranteed by a Dollar Shave Club. Go to the Dollar Shave Club box on joeydiaz.net and press in
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. And get your fucking deal. $1, $6, and $9 if you join through us. Stop fucking around. Stop kidding yourself. You know what I'm saying? Orlando was fucking great this week, Lee.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of Jews at that hotel. And it must have been Passover. They got like
it was Passover.
They got like a 10% code or 3%.
And you called me from that bar, and I was like, that's exactly why I don't date Jewish women.
Oh, my God. And you know, the Jewish women, let me tell you something. I've always been a fan of Jewish women. I love them. I love them. I know they're dirty. They smell like fucking matzo ball soup and feet and shit. I love all that nasty stuff. But then you have the other side of those Jewish women that look like me. And they wear slippers. You ever see the size of their fucking feet? If you weigh over 300, if you weigh over 250 fucking pounds, don't put slippers on, all right? Your feet are flat and fucking disgusting, especially if you're a fucking woman. If you weigh over 190 pounds, do me a favor. Don't wear fucking slippers on your feet. Your feet are fucked up and they're big. Put combat boots on. Stop embarrassing yourself. You ever see a big chick and she comes out with that hunk of fucking foot? It looks like a fucking man's foot. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hunk of foot?
It looks like a hunk of fucking foot. What's wrong with you women? I love you to death. But if you're as big as I am, please, wear fucking combat boots. Don't show nobody your hoofs. Don't show nobody those fucking hoofs. Those Jew hoofs were fucking ginormous, bro.
Yeah.
They had the black things on their head with the long skirts.
Okay.
All of them had fucking ugly feet.
Yeah.
There was a Jew at the gym that was on the treadmill. I was checking out her feet. Fucking ugly as fuck. This bitch couldn't even climb a tree with those fucking things. Usually, you could hoof up the fucking tree with those nails. Oh, my God. I don't mind. Look, I don't mind coming on your feet. I don't want to suck them and smell them like these disgusting people.
Right.
But when you pull out, you give them a little jack to the feet. Women love that shit. A little something for late night.
Right on the feet?
Sure,
right. Never had the desire to do that.
That's because you're a fucking half a fucking Momo. That's why you never want to
sniff. What do you do? You pull it out, you walk around, you're like,
you just pull it out and you go, give me that foot, bitch. You know what? And you fucking crack a nut right on that foot. It's all over the shot. Yeah! Gotta get it together, Lee. You slip. It's Monday night.
How bad was the flight there? Were there a lot of kids on the flight?
Fucking half the plane was filled with kids jumping up and down. Everybody wants to be Mickey Mouse. But you know what, man? I had a great time in Orlando. The food was tremendous. You know, the UFC put Joe up at a great hotel. So I got the mooch off Joe. I stay on the 14th floor. I don't bother nobody. It was $32 for fucking the breakfast buffet. I went down there and
that was my favorite phone call of the year.
Oh, tremendous.
He called me, he's like, Lee, how much do you think a bagel with lox is? And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. I was like, $10? You're like, $19. You're just reading the menu. You're like soup,
$9. $16 for chicken noodle soup, people. $16 for chicken noodle soup. $18 for pasta fazool. $45 for a fucking small steak. Oh, it was $39 for steak and eggs. How's that one for you?
Yeah, room service is a lot.
But it was $32. I don't eat room service. I refuse to fucking pay $39 extra. I don't like food in my room. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't like food in my
room. Because you probably don't have them cleaned during the week.
I don't like food in my room, even if I have them cleaned. I don't want nobody in my fucking room.
Right.
So I came back, and I took my wife to dinner. Well, my wife was the one that said, we're going out to eat, the baby. And we had a coupon for Artie Morton's. I got like 10 fucking coupons. So we went to Artie Morton's. The place is empty. We go at 3 o'clock for a reason. The baby, I don't, it's, you know, she fucking moves around. Go to Artie Morton's. There's three waitresses working. I sit down. Next thing you know, the fucking place is empty. Lee, we're the only ones in there. There ain't a soul in there. A couple comes in, they put them right behind me.
Yeah.
Then a table of six came, and they put them right to my right. Right there. The guy's head was right there. I couldn't even finish my meal. I was so fucking furious. I couldn't even finish my meal. Why do people do that? And I called her outside. When I was outside playing with the baby, I go, listen, When somebody's paying $40 for a steak, they don't want to sit next to them. I don't give a fuck what management tells you. You think those people you sat next to a baby are fucking happy right now? And she looked at me. She never even thought about that.
Yeah, they probably stupid. Cut all the servers. So like, all right, just sit everyone in that one section.
It was
section.
3 o'clock. Fuck no, I don't want people sitting next to me ever again.
Yeah.
And I told her, I don't. And then the manager came over. He's all right. I go, no, it was all right till they put fucking, you know, the Jackson 6 next to me. I don't need these fucking people next to me, man. This is rude. I got my baby. I feel bad for them. I wasn't feeling bad for me. I was feeling bad for them. Yeah. The waitress didn't fucking plan. And that's part of these people. They're not trained anymore. But you understand, my wife is like, they don't train them. No. That's not training. That's common sense. You hear my kid yelling and screaming, why would you put a table of sticks next to fucking nice white people, next to the fucking baby? I wouldn't do that. I'd say, come over here deep. Get the fuck away from that fucking pain in the ass baby. That's what I would say to get an extra tip. Seriously.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you. That's what that's what a real hustler does. Come here for a second. Most waiters will put you next to the baby. I don't want to put you over there. He's a great kid. She's a great kid. But you guys are eating. I don't want no fucking kid dribbling and fucking running around you. That's okay. Most people go, that's okay. No, it's not. Once you've given birth and you've had your kid, you don't want to hear somebody else's fucking kid.
Right.
You just say it out of being polite. You know what I'm saying? But me, I would never take my child to a movie theater. That's just me. Because I would hate to impose on other people. That's why I had my wife make the reservation for 3. Because I know Mercy's a fucking nightmare. She wants to run around. She wants to, you know, she was banging the fucking plate with the fucking thing. The macaronis were going up in the air. I pay. I'll drop an extra 20 or 30 on a fucking tip just to have her there.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is, I don't want to sit next to a kid. It's like when me and we'd all go on the road. Me, Eddie Bravo, Tate, Duncan, Ari, and Joe. We got a table of 6 gorillas. And you put a family with 6 kids next to us. It's not going to work out for you.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk loud. That's just stupid. That's common fucking sense. That's the other thing that's been forgotten about in this country. It's just common fucking sense. This isn't brain surgery half this shit. This is common sense. We're talking about podcasting today. And the mistakes people make with podcasting. And it's like, this is common sense. And these are people who went to college, who took marketing classes, and took all these high-level classes that didn't bring nothing from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what, bro? You can learn all you want, but unless you do. Once you start doing, see, my background is from drug dealing. And this drug dealing and car sales all mixed into one thing, and now I've translated into this comedy. And this is why I get up at 6 in the morning and I tweet. And this is why I do the things I do. I love doing them. I enjoy doing all this shit. But I can't, you know, if you're funny and you have something to say and you have a podcast, you're not going to find it by osmosis, bro. If I want people to come to my San Jose show or my Vegas show July 18th, I got to talk about it, Lee. Right. I got to post it. That's what I didn't do for years. It's not blowing my own horn. I can't do that shit. I don't know how people do it. But I can't expect you to come or be a part of something if I don't talk about it. And I have friends that their podcasts, people don't listen to them, and then they get mad. They go, I don't know what's going on. Well, I looked at your Twitter feed. There's nothing about your podcasting. You're wishing your niece a happy fucking birthday, but your niece don't put no fucking money in your pocket. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to fucking say to you here? Listen, man, and I don't want people to think this, but I'm trying to, it's not all about money, but it's all about getting ahead. And it's the same fucking difference. That's what we're all trying to do. But when we slip into that thing, then we, my life isn't about money. Well, what is it about? How are you going to get to fucking eat? How are you going to get the nice things that you want? How are you going to put your kid in a nice school? How are you going to get the shoes you want? How are you going to take your girlfriend to Vegas, Lee?
Mm-hmm.
That don't come from fucking osmosis, right? You have to make moves to get that money.
Right.
You could be nice. If you're nice, you're not going to be able to go to Vegas. When you're a nice person, you're never going to be able to go to Vegas because you're not making money. You're not sticking up for yourself. You're not telling people what you're worth and what your value is. Correct or not correct?
No, that's right. Yeah, and I think that's the difference between, for the restaurant example, I think that's the difference between a corporate restaurant and a guy who owns a restaurant. Because a corporate restaurant like Morton's, they probably have a book that they give to all the hostesses. And they say, you can sit him here, and they have a guy who's been there training them. But if you owned your restaurant, you'd probably tell, they wouldn't have to worry about corporate rules or whatever. And you could just tell them, don't sit anybody next to anybody else.
But what I understand is corporate is corporate. I want the best restaurant in corporate. So I'm going to incorporate what I have to offer into my waiters and the staff and the management team. You know, I'm not in the restaurant business, but I know different things. Arnie Morton, first of all, is missing $1 million. Put people at the bar. Let them have a drink first. Then move them. I don't give a fuck. Get them to go with that iced tea at the bar first. Slow them the fuck down. There's so many different fucking things. You know, they come up to you and they tell you the special like it's memorized. I don't want to hear that shit. Put some motherfucking flavor to it.
Yeah.
But you understand me?
Yeah.
I could do these ads how they want me to do them. And you know what? Nobody would go to Dollar Shave Club. Nobody would go to fucking Omni. They wouldn't. If I tell you the shit they want me to fucking say, people, I would embarrass myself with the shit. They write stuff, these speeches that these marketing companies write, these executives, these fucking morons, because they sell from what's in a book. They don't sell from what's in their heart. They don't fucking put Hulu Plus. Whatever. I can sit here and Hulu Plus is great. They offer great movies. No, you fucking moron. This is what they fucking offer. I'm saving you fucking money, okay? At the end of the week, you want to save a little fucking geeters. That's what Uncle Joey's here to do. You don't have to do 1,000 other things. You could watch Hulu Plus on your Roku, on your smartphone, on your iPad. You could binge. You could do whatever the fuck you want with your life. You could watch 20 shows. You could take the day off. You could whack off in the fucking bathroom at North Hollywood Park and watch a fucking movie. I don't think they have porn on Hulu Plus. No. But my point is, they got movies. They got fucking, what's the other shit they got? They got your
original Shark Tank. Programming, yeah.
They got original programming now. They got all this stuff. But if I read you the shit that they want me to read, you go, Joey, how fucking corny are you? You ever listen to something and somebody goes, speaking of the weather, you know, Umbrellas Are Us, and you're like, oh my God, that's horrible. Just go, fuck the rain. You know what? I got the best umbrellas in town for you. And that's the same thing I got to offer you with Hulu Plus. I don't have to fucking be corny about Hulu Plus. I'm giving you a great deal. It's $7.99 a month. And I'm giving you 2 weeks for free. If you go to the webpage, you get 1 week for fucking free. Fuck that shit. Go through the church and get 2 weeks. What do they got? You go to joeydiaz.net. They go to the box and what do they press in?
Joey.
Joey. J-O-E-Y. Bam. Just like that. 2 weeks on the arm for free. Who gives you 2 weeks worth of shit? 2 weeks. So it's $7.99 a month. So I'm basically giving you $4 for fucking free. $4. Who's giving you $4 fucking dollars? All right? That's what they do, Hulu Plus. You know why they do that? Because they know once you get in there, you're going to fucking love it. They got everything you like to watch, plus shit you haven't watched it. You've thought about it. You've heard about it. Oh, my God. I've never seen this show. Well, bam. There it fucking is. You want me to read you the list? I can read you the list and what it says on here. It's two guys. I just broke it down for you. You understand me? You're losing money. You're wasting your fucking time. Go to Hulu Plus, get 2 weeks for free, and after that, $7.99 a month for fucking life. What are they pressing the box?
Joey.
Joey, when you go to joeydiaz.net from now on, you're just not going to go to Hulu Plus or the Onnit box. Or you're not going to go to fucking Dollar Shave Club. You're also going to go, and if you need a mug or a fucking patch, or don't show them shit. Fuck them. Go to the webpage, cocksucker. They got eyes. Any of these things, you go, you like it. That's it. That's how you fucking do it. But if I read you what these motherfuckers wanted me to tell you, oh my God. We'd be here for 2 hours and we'd get nowhere. You go, Joey, get the fuck off the mic.
But that's the thing. So for the restaurants, the first guy who owned it probably agrees with you. But then they have more and then they start making a little bit of money. And let's say they let a server go off the rails. What if that server says fuck and he insults somebody? So they have all those things in place now so no one gets offended. And no one goes outside the box.
Listen
so
to me. They can plug good anybody service, in. Yeah. Good service and good work, nobody will get offended. When a waiter is good, there's nothing bad than having a fucking bad waiter. If I tell you I want my steak well done and you bring it back to me raw, I'm agitated. I'm fucking hungry. Now I got to send my food back. That's a bad experience.
Yeah.
Okay? He didn't do his fucking job. If I'm sitting there and I don't have something in front of me, that's a bad fucking waiter. I'm always communicating with them. I'm always asking them how they are. I'm not going to McDonald's. Let me ask you this. What if the guy at McDonald's hired a guy, paid him $10 an hour to ask you how your meal was?
They had that where I grew up.
In that McDonald's.
They had an older guy.
They don't have it anymore.
Yeah, they should. Yeah.
And they have a guy that would come up to you, bring you a straw, ask you how everything was. He wiped down the tables. You know, he didn't really wipe down the tables because he had to be like a manager-looking guy. That, you know, it's like when I went to Chicago and I seen the owner of the restaurant walking around shaking people's hands, saying thank you.
And that's why he owns that restaurant. Any of these chain places, they get so nervous about it, and they want to be able to place anybody in. They don't want anybody making noises. Anybody could be a server at a chain place.
I remember I wanted to be a server at a bartender at one of those chains in '84 before I left, and they wanted me to be a cook first. But I think be a fucking. What the fuck was it? It's one of those popular chains.
Chili's, Applebee's.
One of those. It was way before those.
Oh, okay.
An East Coast chain. And they wanted you to be a cook first before you became a bartender. I was already a bartender in the city. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll be a cook. And I went down and looked at that food, and I'm like, dog, I can't serve this shit.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. All right, so a general manager comes into a restaurant. He wants to apply. his policies or the corporation's policies.
Yeah.
The corporate policies. And he also wants, somewhere around that, he wants that restaurant to reflect what he's about. Whether he's a hard worker, whether he's a customer service based, everybody has a different where they come from. When you're an MMA fighter, you either come from Muay Thai, boxing, wrestling background, jiu-jitsu background. Probably this guy's customer service. Maybe this guy was a chef at one time. He's into presentation. They turn that restaurant into what they have. Now, also, if I'm a corporation and I put you as the general manager, I'm going to give you a taste at the end of the year. So I'm going to give you 6% of the overall gross at the end of the year.
Right.
I'm going to put, if that's what motivates me, that's where I think outside the box.
Well, that's where you think so. But what they think is they have a setup plan that they know works and their restaurant will make $1 million. They could put it and they could have people doing what you say. But if some people don't like that, some of the older people don't want that sort of thing. They just want the same experience they've had at Legal Seafoods forever. If they lose money, then he gets fired. He knows.
But he's not going to lose money. He's only going to do better, Lee.
But it's like having a day job.
Look, when I go to Legal Seafood in Boston, that fucking general manager, nobody came beside the waiter and asked me how my food was. But if that general manager took 2 minutes and came and asked how his food was, and did you try the dessert? No, we don't have room for dessert. Wait a second. You haven't tried the fucking General Marmalade here with the shrimp flavor in the asshole? No, I haven't. You don't know what you're missing. Let me give you a sample. That's what I'm talking
about. Exactly my point.
Even if they get fired, it's $5 out of their pocket. It's going to sell. We're looking at the bottom fucking line, Lee. If I put what I'm talking about, not everything is black and white, Lee. That's why you have failures. Because in this world today, in this corporate world today, everything is black and white.
Yeah.
But it's not black and white, and that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying this is why they're not doing it. Yeah.
No, these guys are scared. Everybody's scared of losing their fucking job.
Yeah.
So then when they do a bad job, they're going to get fired anyway. I'd rather go the extra mile and try because I could always fight for it. I could always go, listen, they didn't like me because I gave away a dessert. But in my defense, I was the highest grossing fucking Artie Morton's in the region for 6 years.
Yeah.
And the bottom line speaks loudest.
Yeah.
The bottom line speaks loudest in those places. So this is what I'm trying to say. There's some certain people that'll be fucking goats and sheep all their fucking lives. And that's the result they'll get. When they retire, they get a gold watch, and everybody else is stealing, making millions, but they got a gold watch for fucking working 30 years like a fucking animal. You understand me? The goal is to get the fuck out of there. It's like the Comedy Store. People get mad at me because I don't go to the Comedy Store. The bottom line of the Comedy Store is getting out of there. It's not staying there.
Right, yeah.
It's getting out of there. It's going through there, making your point, and getting the fuck out of there. If you go back in there after like 7 years and you're dangling around, I don't know what world you should have moved on a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I know Ari still goes there, but Ari goes, you know, during the week to fuck around, but it's not his end-all, be-all.
Right.
You know, you move out of that. You move out of that fucking
Who had that joke? It was like, I think it was a Cat Williams joke. He doesn't fuck with people who are still selling weed. I was watching one of his old specials, and he's fucking great. But, it's crazy. And it's like, I called American Airlines today because I was booking my thing, and every window and aisle seat, they were charging you $30. You couldn't choose a seat other than the middle.
Why did you call them? Why did you go online?
I did go online. I booked my ticket, but you couldn't choose a window or an aisle seat without paying extra money. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll call them and do it. And it's like, oh, no, every window and aisle, like, they get you at every angle now. So, like, the corporate. So I just didn't choose a seat, and it gave me a window, I think, for free. But it was like, if you wanted
to. Where'd they put you?
17 and 22, so I'm in the back.
On the way there, you're in 17?
On the way there, I'm on 22, I think.
On the way back, you're in 17?
Yeah.
You're fucking
But it's just...
And you're in the window both times?
When I'm in the aisle.
That's not bad.
That's all
right. At least you're not in the middle.
Well, I can't be in the middle, but it's... They have so many corporate policies now that just... are the most stupid, and it's the same thing. How if you work at a place, everyone has that boss who they hate, who's always gonna tell on somebody, or you didn't fill out. It's a big joke from Office Space the TPS report, and he has 10 bosses come around. Oh, you didn't fill out the TPS report correctly. He's like, well, I got my fucking work done, and he has, every time he makes a mistake, he has 7 bosses who come and yell at him. It's fucking. It's a terrible place. It's terrible.
Too many cheese with not enough Indians. No, it's
too many cheese and I love it.
That's the expression. Too many cheese and not enough fucking Indians. That's the bottom line with that shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you go out now, how different things are. You know, today, did you see the Diane Sawyer had a thing about Canadian Air, how they throw your luggage.
I saw that. Did you see that? I didn't see her thing, but I saw that they did that,
yeah. And how the Canadian Air called the luggage guy back. And they went into, if your luggage is damaged or your luggage is lost, if you don't call in 24 hours, you don't get dick.
Right.
You get like, I don't even know how much they give you for your luggage. Even if you got $10,000 worth of clothes, they give you like $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
They're fucking cold-blooded. But this happens because we let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
This happens because we let it happen. And I'm giving you $25 for my luggage. I'm giving you $25 for
each way.
Each way. And you're throwing my luggage. And if you lose it, I got 24 hours to report. That's what you're trying to fucking tell me.
Yeah. I have to call the post office because I noticed my tax check didn't get deposited. Like one did and one didn't. And luckily I have tracking on it. It was supposed to go to San Francisco. It went to San Francisco. And then it went back and forth to Baltimore. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? So I'm nervous. I have to call them tomorrow and find out what the fuck is happening with my fucking tax check. But it's like, luckily I have tracking on it. So
who put the tracking on it?
I did. Because I'm fucking, I wanted to make sure they got it. But, yeah, it's terrible. Like, the airlines, luckily I don't fly as much as you do. But it's, they're coming to get you.
I keep my contact with them to a limit. I know. You know, I just know what to fuck with them and not how not to fuck with them. You know, and I know that's why I pay the full thing. I always try to do something better because it's just, it's a fucking nightmare.
I would love.
I feel bad for travelers. Yeah. I feel really bad.
I would love to do a video of you calling American Airlines because I called them today and it took 10 minutes to get through all their menus of like, what's your flight?
Agent.
Yeah.
Agent.
And it keeps going.
Agent.
I keep going.
Agent. Agent. One more question. Is your flight in the 50 states, North America, or Canada? Yes, it is. Thank you. And they put you, I don't even fuck with them. Is this Jose? Agent. Agent. Yeah, but agent. I didn't know the agent. I didn't understand you. Agent. 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 And they'll fucking put them on. Okay. If you didn't, you'll connect you. I fucking torment them. I say agent 80 fucking times from the beginning. Agent. 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 And they go, okay, we'll connect you. And that's it. No fucking around. Don't tell them where I'm going. None of your fucking business where I'm going. It's like when you call people. You ever call somebody and they go, who my ass was calling? Don't matter. What is this about? Don't matter. Let me talk to them.
Yeah.
I tell them just like that. Oh, okay. Yeah, don't matter. What do you care? It's none of your fucking business.
Yeah.
I got VD in my asshole. You want me to tell you? What do you give a fuck about? I got VD in my muffler. What do you fucking care about? Now put the doctor on. It's none of your fucking business where I'm calling you. That's the or they call you and they say he's not available. Then what'd you ask me what my name was? The fuck is wrong? Don't ask me. When they ask me now, is he available? Who should I say he's called? Is he available?
Yeah.
You know? The other day I was on the when I worked for Boulder Toyota years ago, there was a you couldn't take sales calls from any phone. You had to call the operator. She goes, Toyota sales, you had to call the operator, and you had to tell her what phone booth you wanted.
Okay.
Either phone booth one or two. And as soon as you picked up the phone, a tape recorder went on. And they had a script. And if you stuck to that fucking script, Lee, you would sell 1,000 cars a month. But everybody would say, and I went to battle with the guy who ran the program. And one day he took me to lunch and he goes, Joey, listen to me. You're a great salesman. You're a hustler. You show up on time. Your shoes always shined. You know, we've spent millions into this. How about I work with you on this, and I'll watch you do the money. And we would sit together, and he'd listen like that with speakers,
mm-hmm.
and I'd talk to the person, and he'd say, stick to that. And it would even diagram it. If they say that, go back to that. Like, that's how much, and what it was designed to not give any answers.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, who am I speaking with? Lee Sayan. Hi, Lee, what can I do for you today? Hi, I'm calling about the 82 Mustang. What's the mileage on it? It's blue. It's beautiful. It's four-cylinder. It's got 390 horsepower, air conditioning. I got it from some lady, the rims. What's the mileage on it? You have to smell the interior of this fucking car. What's the mileage? The tires are brand new. We did a 21-2-point inspection on it. What's the mileage on it? Let me ask you this. What time do you want to come in here? I have a 2:30 and I have a 4 o'clock. This car's not going to last. Do you want to come in here at 1 o'clock? What's the mileage on it? Do you want to come in here at 1 o'clock, sir? This car is going. Hold on 1 second. I have somebody on the lot. And I mean, dog, you sold the fucking car. The other day I sat there and listened to my wife call for an office.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, she's telling him I'm a stand-up and a podcast. And I go, hang up the phone. She's like, what? Hang up the phone. You gave him too much information. You just lost the battle. You don't have to give him dick. But they asked. Fucking go around it. You don't got to tell nobody dick. You don't got to tell nobody dick. What are you telling them all that fucking information for? Stick to your guns. You know? And that's how I do that reverse. Who's I saying he's calling? Who am I talking to? Yeah. Who am I talking to? And what has it got to do with the situation I have? Is the doctor available to talk right now? Is he available? No, he's not. Then I'll call back. There's no reason to give him my fucking name. What do you want no names for?
What do you do at like the grocery store when they say, can they have your number and stuff?
I don't have a number. Don't worry about it. It's like when you go to Starbucks, you're in there tired. Do you want us to fill it to the top? Yeah, I want you to let it go over and boil on my fucking fingers. No, give it some fucking air. Dude, what's your email? I don't fucking know. It's 8 in the morning. Give me my coffee and ask me fucking questions. Okay? What's with the fucking questions at 8 in the morning? I came in here for a cup of coffee. Give me the fucking coffee. Here's $2. Do what the fuck you gotta do. What's with the fucking questions?
I think you might have broken your hand like that guy in the UFC fight the other night.
You know me. I'm the toughest fucking nail. This ain't gonna hurt my knuckles.
Oh, I love it.
It's really amazing how we give too much information. You don't need to give nobody other information. Nothing.
You think just you do?
Steamroll these motherfuckers. It's like you're a parrot. I'm a parrot. There's times people email me, they're talking about the winter, and I start talking about the summer. When they read that email, they're like, fuck, we tried to confuse him. He confused us. Also, do not forget about escapepodtank.com. For all your flotation tank needs. Do you understand me? I don't give a fuck. You're going to go to wherever you're going to go and float and pay per session. Get a skate pod tank. Go to their website. They have commercial tanks. They have personal tanks for your house. They have industrial tanks. You know, and I don't know if you guys know about flotation systems or whatever. Go to escapepodtank.com. Look at what they got to offer you. If they got something that you like, let's say you got questions, call Jeremy. There's a 1-800 number. Jeremy will answer the phone. He'll help you. It's customer service is going to win you over. You know why I went with them? You know why I work with them? Because they save you $2,000 to $3,000 to $4,000, and the customer service is fucking tremendous. That is the most expensive. That is the most important thing. Sometimes something's more expensive than others, but I'll go with that guy because of the customer service. You're gonna go with somebody over $5, and when you call them for something, they're never gonna call you back. The guy you paid the money to, he's gonna call you back. Trust me, I'm telling you. Go to escapepodtank.com. They're not gonna charge you more. They're gonna save you money. But Jeremy, when you call the 800 number, he'll be as fucking nice as pie to you. Give him a shot. Also, when you mention my name, you get $250 off. You want to put it in your house, they'll fly out, install it in your house. They have a team to come out to your house. Or you could just order it and do it yourself and sweat and remind yourself of Christmas when you're fucking doing your kids' toys and they don't bring a screw. So just fucking, you know what I'm saying? I got to let these people know. I got to draw a picture for these fucking people. Lee, you know when you're fucking around here.
Cocksucker.
I'm sorry about today with the audio sound. Lee's spectacular at what he does. But sometimes the wires get crossed here and fucking the sound goes kaput and it happens. So I'm happy you people listen to. I know it's late on the East Coast. I know it's late in the Midwest. But fuck you motherfuckers. Every once in a while you got to break out of the mold and listen to a fucking podcast from time to time. I don't even know what we fucking talked about today. But I know I had a good time. And listen to me. It's fucking hot in here. You know, thank God we didn't get this other office. They don't turn the air on Saturday and Sunday. We're going to walk into a fucking oven on Monday morning. But we keep it at 74. 74 does nothing when it's fucking 95 outside. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody wants to keep their air conditioning. We need air conditioning at 50 fucking 5. It's got to be freezing. I want to see you with a fucking winter jacket inside. What good is it having an air conditioner? Oh, it's comfortable in here. If I want to be comfortable, I'll get some fucking Pro Keds or something like that. All right? I'm going to be fucking cold. I don't even want to beat a fucking sweat. I'm sitting here. Why would I be fucking hot?
I felt really bad. Do you ever pick up the t-shirts at the t-shirt place? They don't have AC on there. I felt so bad for the people there today. I was like, oh God, it's fucking
hot. You went on there today?
Yeah. I was like, it's fucking hot in here.
They had no air in there.
No. I was like, oh, these poor people.
Fucking animals. Fucking people. Fucking animals. To save what? And you're going to have uncomfortable employees. Then when they rob you, oh, well, he's a piece of shit. He robbed me. Next time, get fucking air conditioning.
One of the nights, when I worked a night shift, they said, bring a fan. They turned the AC off at night. I was like, Fuck, all right.
Bring a fucking fan. So anyway, as you guys know, next Wednesday we're doing a live podcast at the Ice House, 8 o'clock, 4:30. And then the following week I'm at the Camelback Casino in Santa Fe with Ari Shaffir. It's a Saturday night show, May 10th. Then the following week, myself and the Flying Jew from the 15th to the 17th will be at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas.
Oh, shit.
He'll be down there selling some fucking t-shirts, eating some fucking goomies, and having all that fun
stuff. Some goomies.
Some goomies, a bunch of them. And for you people from the church, thank you for all the love and support you give me and for coming to the shows and for just loving me and Lee and for what we're doing. You know, we try really fucking hard here. We're not some Johnny-come-lately motherfuckers. We try really hard here, and we're happy that you, we know you have a lot of fucking options. So for you guys to tune in and give us the love you give us means a lot, you know. So thank you very much. We'll see you guys Wednesday with Ed Suarez. Nice and early, 6 fucking o'clock in the morning, as usual. We love you, motherfuckers. Stay black.
Oh, shit.
Where's the music, Lee? You're slipping.
Well, hold on. I gotta read the script again.
Jesus Christ on a crutch.
Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for Hulu Plus for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And again, thank you to EscapePodTank.com. Get your flotation tank. It's at your house. You don't got to float with random people. Mention Joey Diaz, and they're going to save you an additional $250 off.
Stay black. Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. Wiggle Funk with Joey Lee. Let's see what you got for Papa.
What do you know about this Joey Diaz?
Let me see, baby. Let me see what you got for Uncle Joey. What shit? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Look at you. Let me see you do it. That's it with the hands. That's it. You gotta shake that one. Go like this. Like that. There you go. And now you go like this with the cowbell. Comes and go. Let me see if you do that. Like this. Like a genie. See, if you ate ass, you know, you hit that motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a fart in my mouth. I love it. Fuck it. Have a great week.